Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Joined in studio by Tony Vitagliano, one of our vice presidents, and my son. Dr. Alex McFarland joins us remotely, and now Chris Woodward steps into the fire. Man, you're on the field now.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your doom and gloom is?
So you're going to bring the doom and gloom, right?
I have my PhD in it.
All right. Well, start us off. Let's see. Give us your best stuff.
Well, this one is going to be something we're going to be covering probably for the next couple of days, to say the least, maybe even months, because lawsuits are going to be filed here. And Fred may have mentioned this at the start of the show, but I did bring in some sound on this. Yesterday, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat, signed an executive order banning what he calls conversion therapy on minors in Kentucky. Now, conversion therapy is a term that the left throws out there for anything involving conversations with somebody that might be a part of or thinking they're a part of the LGBTQ community. But what this basically does is it's telling counselors, pastors, priests, faith leaders in the state of Kentucky, you cannot have a conversation with a minor who is having unwanted same-sex attractions or gender identity issues. Governor Andy Beshear, in his comments, said that conversion therapy or reparative therapy is harmful to LGBTQ. There's no science to back this up. It's awful, shameful. We're not going to do this in the state of Kentucky. Now, we reached out to David Walls of Kentucky Family Foundation, who said that, look, some legislators here in Kentucky have tried several times now to get a bill banning so-called conversion therapy passed into law, but it's gotten fewer and fewer people in support of it because we know that this is a violation of religious freedom. It's unconstitutional. You're talking about violating parental rights, free speech rights, all kinds of things. It's wrong. So I have some sound here from David Walls of Kentucky Family Foundation, clip 13.
We believe Kentucky parents and their children should be free to seek counseling, including faith-based Christian counseling on issues of sexuality and identity when they need to do so.
Now, to go with this story today, you will also hear a soundbite from a gentleman named Jonathan Alexander. He is an attorney with Liberty Counsel, a law firm that's been going around the country fighting talk therapy bans, as they call it. Jonathan Alexander says there will indeed be lawsuits in Kentucky. He would be shocked if there's not. And he talks about the importance of that in a very brief clip here, clip 14.
There needs to be pushback so that individuals that are seeking this help can get it.
Now, we do want to point out as well that Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear was on the short list for Kamala Harris's vice presidential nominee. He was just reelected to a second term, so he's, you know, kind of feeling, you know, maybe he's in the spotlight or at least safe doing these kinds of things, which, again, David Wall says, you know, the legislature has tried to do, but never went that direction.
You know, Alex, I just recently, I'm working on a little bit of a project. Just recently went to the, I think it was the American Psychiatric Association's website to look up some of the material they have up there posted on the subject of homosexuality. And what they have said, what the American Psychological Association says, what every mental health organization that I've ever visited over the last 20 years, 25 years, of writing on the subject of human sexuality, they always say nobody really knows what causes homosexuality. Okay. Now, sometimes they say maybe it's a combination of nature versus nurture, whatever, but they all say nobody knows what causes it. So if that's true, how do they know you can't change?
Right. Well, here's the thing. Homosexual activity is a behavior. Now, the gay lobbyists want you to think that it's an ethnicity. So the Constitution talks about mutable and immutable characteristics. Sexual behavior is a mutable, changeable characteristic. Now, this will blow your mind. The current mental health research says that 68% of 15-year-olds that have experienced, not live it, but just even at one time experience same-sex attraction. 68% have a completely heterosexual orientation by age 21. Now here's the thing. A pastor, probably, even if these conversion therapy bans take place that the Democrats and Kamala Harris want and Tim Walz just made a promise a week ago to the Human Rights Campaign that they would try to make conversion therapy a thing of the past in America. But I want to tell you that this has great implication for professional counselors, Christian counselors across the country, and there are many Christian counseling agencies with decades of experience helping people. But the LGBTQ trans lobbyists and the Democrat Party is in their hip pocket. They want basically to make it illegal to tell people struggling with sexual sin how to get out of it. So this is just one of three dozen issues that should influence how we pray for the country and how we vote.
You know, Tony, the battle over human sexuality, the sexual revolution, as it were. Of course, it's not a revolution. This is not revolutionary. This is the way the promoters of hedonism have tried to push our country. Hugh Hefner, Alfred Kinsey, whoever you want to look at, they're actually wanting to go back to a pre-Christian view of human sexuality. There's nothing ever revolutionary about what's happening. But in this country, what we traditionally call the sexual revolution has always been at war with Christianity. And what Governor Beshear has done in Kentucky, what Tim Walz is promising, the Human Rights Campaign, about making sure that even Christian counselors cannot counsel individuals who want to leave homosexuality. This has always been meant to target the church, target the Bible, because they hate the message that human sexuality is to be limited to marriage between one man and one woman. They absolutely despise that message, and this is at its core a war against God and His Word.
That's absolutely right. Listen, people who are in the dark and who are living in darkness, they want others to join them. They don't want anybody else to escape the darkness. And that's what this looks like to me. It's that these states, these organizations who are pushing these states to ban conversion therapy, they want to keep these children who are confused at a very confusing time in their life. They want them to stay in that state and keep them there in the darkness that they're living in. And I'll just say this, it is obvious to me that we in at AFA, we have kind of been beating the drum about the next phase of the, you described as a sexual revolution that's been ongoing. Right now, we're dealing with the transgender issue, but I'm just here to tell you the next phase of this is going to be lowering the age of consent.
Yes.
And wanting to keep things, the continuation of sexualization of children, they're going to keep beating this drum. And banning conversion therapy is a way to ensure that that is an easier transition, because these children, these minors who are struggling with these issues are often targeted by homosexuals, by members of the LGBTQ community. And so you can kind of see this process playing out.
Well, they have groups in school.
Yes, exactly. And you can see I'm looking at a map right now of the number of the states that have banned conversion therapy and those that have not. And it's the map lines up just like you would think it would.
Yeah.
Right. So what this also demonstrates to me, and this is very personal to me as a father currently of very young children who will grow up under this, grow up in the middle of this battle. It's apparent to me that, the left doesn't want parents to parent their children, right? They believe that children belong to the state and that you have no say over the development of your child at any stage. I mean, because they'll push this. They're pushing this this idea of transgenderism even in in elementary school or younger.
Right.
I mean, it's obvious to me that it really bothers the left that parents still have a say over how their children are raised and what treatment they can receive and how they can be helped.
That's why, and we'll pitch it back to you, Alex, if you want to comment any further, but that's why there are states that right now regulate the foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, if you're a Christian and you do not agree to be supportive
right.
of LGBTQ children, even if they have the desire to transition while they're under your care, you cannot foster children. So this has already happened in states like Massachusetts and New York yeah. and Illinois when it comes to adoptions. You
oh, yeah.
can't even adopt if you're a Christian and you don't agree to be totally supportive.
Well, you know, let me just say, and here's another show we could do sometime, how books and philosophies begin to make their way into the culture. How many would remember, I'm going to show my age here, but the Hillary Clinton book in 1996, It Takes a Village.
Right.
Now, that was kind of promoted as this innocuous, sweet little book about how everybody in the neighborhood, you know, contributes to the development of a child. But really, that book by Hillary Clinton set forth this idea that children are property of the state. And the parents, the biological mom and dad, really don't have the full sovereignty to raise their child. But let me say this, that this ban on conversion therapy, look, the younger that a child is violated, the younger age at which a child loses their innocence or is, you know, God forbid, molested, the longer that they and the more deeply entrenched very often they are with psychological, spiritual wounds. And like lowering the age of consent, yes, some on the left have advocated for that. And it's very sad, the hypersexualization of children, the idea of just complete sexual license, no boundaries, and this legal possibility of not being able to tell sinners how to repent, not being able to tell hurting people how to be whole and healed. Guys, I don't have another adjective, but I'm going to use this adjective. The way the left is using sex, the way the LGBTQ trans community is wanting to forcibly mainstream destructive deviancy, it's wicked.
Yes.
That's the only adjective that I can muster. This is wicked.
And I would say this, it's of course we're talking about those on the sexual revolution train. But I will say this, heterosexuals have dropped the ball too when it comes to the sexualization of children.
Yeah.
You know, in advertising and programming and listen, We advocated that people, this goes back several years, consider dropping Netflix if they were streaming it when they went ahead and aired Cuties. Remember
oh, yeah.
this horrifying program? So, Christian, did you drop it? Okay, so, and I'm not trying to play that game of, you know, trying to guilt you into it, but I'm just saying we can't blame all this on the homosexual movement or the Alfred Kinsey acolytes. I mean, there are far too many Christians who tolerate things in their homes where children are sexualized and where the sexual revolution, the evangelists of that movement, come into the living room programming.
Let me just say this, too. This is another demonstration of why it is so important to choose carefully who your elected officials are. So Amen. I assure you that, and Chris could probably confirm this, that Andy Beshear wasn't promoting this as being a top item for him when he was trying to get elected his first term. Guarantee you he probably, I can be fact-checked on this, but I guarantee you he wasn't even promoting this when he was running for a re-election for his second term. What why it's so important to be careful who you vote for is that there are, this is a way of wearing the badge of honor for politicians on the left, is to show themselves fully committed. And Andy Beshear has this is his crowning achievement, he would probably
say. Yeah, and he can't run again.
He can't run again. That's what I'm saying. So he gets in, and at the end of his second term, he's going to, not near the end, he's got two more years, or three more years, but he pulls something like this.
Yeah. Very possible. I just find the timing of it very interesting, with the presidential election being 40-some-odd days away, that you would do this and then get national attention for it.
Yeah.
Therefore, forcing it as an issue on the stage. I would be shocked if Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are not asked about it over the weekend somewhere. Yeah.
All right. Let's. What else you got?
Here's a case in New York that we need to be praying about. While we pray over the situation we just discussed at length in Kentucky, a group of New York nuns are urging the U.S. Supreme Court to block New York regulation requiring faith-based organizations to cover abortions in their employee health insurance plans. This is a story from the Center Square. I'll post the link for it in a second on our Facebook page. There's a quote in here from Eric Baxter, vice president and senior counsel at Beckett Fund. He said, quote, New York's abortion mandate is so extreme that not even Jesus, Mother Teresa, or Mahatma Gandhi would qualify for an exemption. The justices should exempt religious organizations once and for all so that they can focus on caring for the most vulnerable. I've said this before on the program. I'll probably say it again if the Lord tarries. And I'm back on the show doing a news segment. Even if you're not Catholic, let's say you're Baptist, you're Methodist, you go to a non-denominational church, you should care about and pay attention to this issue, because how a court comes down against Catholic nuns, they'll have no problem coming down against you. In the world's eyes, we're all Christians because, you know, we all talk about Jesus.
I thought that this was already settled by the Supreme Court in the Little Sisters of the Poor case.
Yes, that's a great question. It wasn't settled. It was kind of settled, like, more or less for the Little Sisters. So it's almost like the Jack Phillips situation, where they're never exactly ruled whether he had to design the cake and put congratulations on it.
Right.
They just said Colorado was mean to you.
Okay.
They never settled that specific issue, so that's why Beckett is trying to get this finally resolved once and for all. And, you know, look, I know it's nuns. They're probably not seeking an abortion, given their lifestyle choice to live for Jesus in the way that they have chosen to live.
Celibate, yeah.
Right. So, but here's the thing. You should still not have to pay for that in your abortion coverage plan. You're putting money towards something that you believe is a sin, a mortal sin, if I'm not mistaken. So therefore, you know, look, even though these religious cases might involve another church that you're not a part of, you should still pay attention to and care about these kinds of cases, because how the government comes down to those people, they won't bat an eye coming after you and your congregation.
You know, Alex, this I've said this, you've said this, we all recognize that at the core of the culture wars that have been raging for, I don't know, 40 years in terms of sexuality, abortion, 50 years, you know, Roe versus Wade, and so on and so forth. But at the core of it is a war over the subject of God. I mean, that really is there a God? Has he spoken to us? Is the Bible the word of God? Will we one day stand before God and answer for all these? All these issues, all these questions are at the center of all these issues we're discussing. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's pornography at your local school library or the issue we're just talking about. We're talking about age of consent, or we're talking about counseling people to get out of homosexuality, drag queen story hour, abortion. All of these center on the issue of God. That's why I glanced over at Tony's computer when he had pulled up the map showing what states had banned quote-unquote conversion therapy, and these were liberal states that had done it for the most part, because those are the states with the highest percentage of population of people who do not believe in God.
Yeah, exactly. Well, everybody has a God. You know, if I can quote that inimitable theologian, Bob Dylan, you know, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you will serve somebody.
Right.
You know, many decades ago, there was a Jewish psychologist named and theologian named Martin Buber. And Martin Buber, he used this term, an I-thou distinction. And he said, he was right, either it's the true God or it's myself. You know, there is an ultimate thing in everybody's life. Now, here's the deal. Whether it's AOC or some liberal globalist, because they don't know the true and living God and are not part of his kingdom, they try to build some man-made globalist utopia here on earth. And, you know, the thing is, either there's a God to whom we're accountable, or I myself am God and call the shots. And for those of us that, let me just say humbly, you know, we know who God is. We know the Lord Jesus. We believe his word. We realize there's a God and it's not me. Not only is that unsettling to atheists, secularists, it really angers them. Guys, you might have seen this out there dialoguing, debating, talking to people. When you know who God is and you know his revelation, you know God's word, that really bugs those that are at war against God, you know?
Yeah.
And but our nation, as we all know, our nation assumes that there are moral absolutes. They come from Almighty God, the Creator. Jefferson says this in the Declaration. And so it does not violate the non-establishment clause of the First Amendment. When, in fact, the man that wrote the First Amendment was a Christian, Fisher Ames. I often ask audiences, I'll say, how is it that 21st century secularists think they know more about the application of the First Amendment than the man that wrote the First Amendment? But we've got to, and I want to say to everybody listening, pastors, citizens, parents, whomever, look, we've got to remind this culture that our nation was founded on God and moral truth, and it can only be preserved if we acknowledge God and moral truth.
You know, your point about it's either God or myself, you find these kinds of sentiments from those who are, I do like Abe's term, regressives, mm-hmm. but the secular yeah. humanists. This sentiment leaks out a lot. So my body, my choice when yeah. it comes to abortion.
Right.
You can't tell me what to do with my body. Nobody can. You can't, preacher. God, you can't. The Supreme Court, I want to say this was in Casey versus Planned Parenthood back in the early 90s. The Supreme Court said, if I've got this right, it might have even been Anthony Kennedy. I'm really going back in the closet to try to pull this out. But the Supreme Court said that every individual has the right to determine what their own life is going to look like, and nobody can tell that person what to do. And I just thought, I mean, it was untethered to any kind of philosophical argument. It was just basically saying, and this sentiment has been used over and over again, you can't even tell me what gender I am. I'll make up my own mind and right. decide what my reality is. And that kind of
demonic.
Yeah, that kind of self-centeredness, it's like right out of the Garden of Eden. Okay, you have the yeah. right to pick whatever tree you want and become as wise in your own eyes as you want. And he, let me whisper to you, God wants to stop you from becoming just like him. That is demonic, but it is so infested our culture, it's going to take God himself to change us, if that's even possible at this stage. I think it is, because I think yeah. God can do anything. All right, folks, that's the music. That means we're done on this edition of Today's Issues. More great programming is coming right up on American Family Radio. Tomorrow, Lord willing, it's Trivia Friday. We'll have a little fun. Hope you'll join us.